All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. Today's shir is dedicated by Alan Wiseman in commemoration of the archetype of his mother, Dorothy Devorah Miriam Bas Moshe Cohen. We hope that in the merit of our time with Torah, Hashem will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And also to thank the Esterson family for dedicating the Shiburim this month in memory of their parents, Hinda Esterson Ludwig Stiefel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah and the families a nechama. We'll say with that, let's begin. Today's daf is Ches. We are just going to pick up on 8. We are picking up on Zayin Amud Beis. I want to thank Maishi for stepping in yesterday so bravely and valiantly and doing a wonderful job. I recorded the daf afterwards as well. I'll just pick up from where I left off in the recording, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom on Zayin Amud Beis 7b. So if you remember again, the Gemara switches gears a little bit and discusses the idea Ein Od Milvado. The Gemara quotes the pasuk, quotes the pasuk from Devarim Ein Od Milvado. There is no one besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Bichanina Va'afilu Kshafim. So the Gemara says, is that true? Meaning, Va'afilu Kshafim. Even magic. In other words, nothing has the power over the Ratzon Hashem. Nothing has the power over the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even Kshafim, even Kishuf, we loosely translate it as magic, black magic, dark arts, whatever it might be. Kishuf. So we'll say, by the way, one thing, this is not a topic for today, it's clear that there was a power to Kishuf, right? It's clear that, again, this is not just like, sleight of hand? It's not just,
Illusion,
thank you. It's not just illusion, but excellent, Eric. But again, but remember, there was something to this. We see this in by the Chartumim of Paro. There was some koach to this. So the Gemara says, Ein Od Milvado, even Kshafim do not go ahead and stare the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara tells an amazing story. There was a particular woman who was trying to take dirt from underneath the feet of Rabbi Chanina. Why was she trying to take dirt from underneath the feet of Rabbi Chanina? She apparently wanted to use it for some type of spell. And I guess the spell called for the dirt underneath the feet of the person you were trying to cast the spell upon. So listen to this. Amar Rabbi Chanina said, Shakulei, go ahead, take all the dirt you want. Lo mistayim milseich. Whatever you're going to do is not going to have any kind of impact on me. Why? Ein od milvado ksiv. Ultimately, again, because the pasuk says, "Ein od milvado," there is no one besides Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Chanina said, "It's not going to have any kind of impact on me." But once Rabbi Yochanan says, "Why is kishuf called kishuf?" Shemachishin. Now, I will say this is actually a very dramatic statement because it negates kishuf. Negates pamal yoshamala. Kishuf somehow negates the ratzon of Hashem above. And I will say, how could Chazal make such a statement like that? That Kishuf negates the Ratzon Hashem. So the Maharal explains very beautifully as follows. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for each of us. But that plan requires of us certain things as well. I have to live up to certain expectations. I have to do certain things. In the event that I don't hold up my end of the life relationship bargain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes certain elements of his hashgach, of divine providence from me. When he removes those elements of divine providence, that unfortunately allows kishuf to take hold on me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his providence, and that allows ultimately again kishuf to take effect. So the Gemara says, but again, Shani Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina was different. Why? Because Rabbi Chanina was exceptionally pious. Because he was exceptionally pious, he had great zichuyos, he had great merit. Because of his great merit, ultimately again, kishuf did not have a hold on him. These are incredible Gemaras. Rabbi Chanina, Ein Adam Nokef Etzba'o Milamato. This is a separate independent statement. The common denominator in all of this is Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara says, "I Rabbi Chanina says, Ein Adam Nokef Etzba'o Milamata, Ela Imke Machrizin Alav Milamata." Rabbi Chanina also said, "A person does not stubble." Let's say in this context, Etzba'o doesn't mean finger. Etzba'o means toe. A person does not stub his toe in this world, unless, of course, it has been decreed from above. I'll say a very, very dramatic statement. This goes back to our Gan HaEmunah days, right? That there is nothing that occurs in this world that is not ordained from above. Even the stubbing of a toe. Shene emar, me Hashem mitzadei gaver konanu, va'adam mayavin darko. Literally, get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The steps of man are arranged, and does man truly understand the derech ahead of him? We'll say it's an incredible, incredible statement. Va'amra belazar, dam nikof meratzi kidam. We'll say, listen to this. This is an incredible Gemara. So Rabbi Elazar says, dam nikof. We'll say, dam nikof literally means the blood that comes as a result of injury is like dam ola. Atones like the blood of an ola. What type of blood of an injury are we talking about? So Amarava, Bigudl Yamim Ubenikov Sheni. This is talking about when you stub your big toe on your right foot for a second time. Okay? So stubbing your big toe on your right foot for a second time. Now also what's the pshat? So first of all, anyone who's ever stubbed their toe knows that mamish, like, it's Yisurin Ba'olam Hazeh. Like, it's, and I will say, why the right? Because the assumption is that if a person is right-handed, they take their first step with their right foot. Rashi points out that if you're taking your first step with your right foot, that means you're generally moving that foot with force. If you end up stubbing the big toe on your right foot, that means that's going to be a gesunta stub, right? At the end of the day, you are slamming that into the wall, right, with some significant amount of force. And what happens? If it's not the first time, but it's the second time, then mamish again, it makes things worse. So what Rabbi Lozer is saying over here, we'll say, is sometimes again, certain yisurim, certain forms of suffering which we undergo in this world have a cleansing effect like the dam of the ola. Furthermore, again, this is said assuming that a person is walking towards a mitzvah. See here, I'm going to do a mitzvah, I'm going to do a right thing, and what happens? I stub the big toe on my right foot a second time. I'm experiencing all of this pain for the purposes of a mitzvah. Ultimately, again, such pain has a cleansing or cathartic impact like the blood of the ola itself. Amru alav Rav Pinchas ben Yair. So we'll say back to Rav Pinchas ben Yair. This is actually amazing. With this, we'll end. Miyamav labatsa aprusa she'inu shalo. We'll say he never went ahead and literally again sat and ate a meal from a piece of bread that was not his. Now, we'll say, if you remember again, Rav Pinchas ben Yair lived his life not wanting to rely on the kindness of others. Not that it wasn't offered to him, it was offered to him all the time. He made a conscious decision, Sonim Atonos Yichya, he who hates gifts lives for a long time. Anything that a person could do in life on their own steam, they're generally better off. So he made a decision not to benefit even from the piece of bread from someone else. Umiyom Sha'amad al Daito, and I will say from the time that he became mature, Lo Nene Misudas Aviv. This is actually quite amazing. He even applied this to his parents. I tried telling this to my kids. It did not work. Right? So, right? It's so much better for you to be independent, be on your own. Here's the tuition bill. Right? So again, from the day that he became mature, ultimately, again, he would not go ahead and even benefit from his father. I will say, just because I don't have time to go into it, but I'll give you a wonderful maramakum. You'll take a look at the Marsha. So the Marsha points out over here that the Lashon of the Gemara is Labatsa al Prusa. He never went ahead and ate a piece of bread from someone else. So you know, we'll say the halacha is that if you have a choice between making hamotzi on a shalim or a prusa, right, on a whole loaf or on a piece, the halacha is you make the hamotzi on the shalim. So the Marashah says that if he didn't have a shalim and someone else had a shalim, he would have made the hamotzi on someone else's shalim. For that, he would have accepted help. So you see this incredible idea that although, yes, there's a concept of being independent, and there's a concept of accomplishing on your own steam, but sometimes, to actualize your personal greatness, you must go ahead and rely on other people. You must go ahead and be able to accept help when it is offered. Even the great Pinchas ben Yair, who would not subsist on the kindness of others, even of his own parents, when it came to the ability to grow, he recognized that sometimes he had to rely on others. Beautiful. Bosei tap of ches. Back to the halachas. Now, Bosei, these are incredibly amazing halachas. I'm Rabbi Chani, I'm Rabbi Zeir, I'm Shmuel. Li bein sakin v'shachet. Bosei, listen to this great case. I go ahead, I'm shechting, and what do? I heat up my knife. I heat up my shechita knife. And I shecht with the hat shechita knife. So what's the halacha? So we'll say, so we're going to see what the issue is over here. Shechita sok shera. So the Gemara paskins, the shechita is good. Why? Chiduda kodim lelivuna. Now we'll say, let's take a step back for just a moment. We're going to get into the halachas of shechita. You have to cut the two simanim, the kana and the veshat, the windpipe and the esophagus of the animal. You have to cut rove of both simanim. The halacha is the simanim have to be cut. So for example, let's say you were to pour acid on the neck of the animal and the acid would cut through the two simanim. That is not shechita. That animal is in a vela. So the simanim must be cut, cannot be burned. So the issue over here is that when you have a knife that's been heated up and you put that knife to the neck of the animal, so we'll say, so the shaila is that called cutting? Or do we say that it's the heat of the knife that burns through the simanim? So the Gemara, Rabbi Zera Paskin, the name is Shmuel, that if you cut with a heated knife, the shechita is kasher. Why? Chiduda kodem lelibuna. Because we'll say, we assume that the sharpness of the knife cuts the simanim before the heat does. Aye, v'hoi katzdadin. We'll say, but there's a bigger issue. Even if you want to say that on the point of contact, right, the sharp edge of the knife, it's the sharp edge that cuts and not the heat, what about the sides of the knife, right? The pashtus, the sides of the knife, when they touch the neck of the animal, are burning the sides. Because also, again, remember, even if you want to say it's the sharpness of the knife that cuts, sharpness can only apply to what? To what? To the blade, to the edge. It doesn't apply to the sides. So aren't the sides being burned? To which the Gemara says, amazing, Beis HaShechita Mervach Ravach. So we're going to do a field trip on this. Maisha's going to arrange this. So we're going to see this, right? I'm serious, by the way. Lunch and learn. You know, so again, what you will see is when you shecht, ultimately, again, the way it opens up is the Beis HaShechita, it opens up. Meaning it's not the pshat that you cut and everything remains closed. You cut and it opens. Which means, the Gemara says, is that when you cut, it's the cutting that's opening and the sides of the knife really don't touch the sides of the Beis HaShechita. So fine, that's halacha number one. Ibailu. So we'll say, good news, you could shaft with a heated knife. And if you do so, ultimately, again, the shechita is kasher. Although we're going to see it's not so pashit in halacha. We'll get to the Shulchan Aruch. But at least for now, that's what the Gemara seems to be saying. Ay, Ibailu, libun shibur vihikabo. Well, so now we're switching gears in just a moment. Let's say I heat up a spit. Shipur is a spit. I heat up a spit. Vihikabo. And I will say, ultimately, again, I hit someone with it. Rashi says, Esa adam b'maka b'koach. I mamish hit someone with the spit. So we'll say, so watch this. Mishum shchin nidon or mishum michve nidon. So we'll say, listen to this interesting case. So here's the shayla. Let's say as a result of being hit with the spit, so it leaves some type of discoloration on the skin of the person. Do we look at that discoloration as what we call shchin? Shchin just means literally discoloration or inflammation. Or do we look at it mishum michveh? Mishum michveh means a burn. I will say what we're talking about over here are the laws of tzaraas. The halacha is that if you go ahead and you have an inflammation or you have a burn, and that inflammation changes form, spreads, sprouts either white spots or white hairs, it turns into tzaraas. What we're going to discuss over here is that different forms of tzaraas can combine. In order to go ahead and be chayev or have tzaraas, you have to have a gris of discharge. We know a gris from Hilchos Nida. Right, but it has to, right, so it needs to be like the size of a penny in order to go ahead and be considered tzaraas. So listen to this case. So I hit someone with a spit, right? They get some type of discoloration. So the shaila is that discoloration, is that called inflammation or is it called the burn? You're asking me, is it called inflammation that we assume that the discoloration is there because a person, it's like blunt trauma. I hit someone with something. Or is it called a burn? You'll say to yourself, who cares? L'may nafkamina. Gemara is l'may nafkamina. Here we go. L'chid the same. I'll say, here's why it matters. Shin u'michve mitamin b'shavua echad. We'll say, if a person has an inflammation on their skin, or a burn, and we're not sure if it's tzara'as or not, we go ahead and essentially, we give it a week. Right? After a week, we look at the following. If b'shnei simanim b'ser lavanu b'pisyon, if ultimately again the discoloration changed over the course of the week, either it sprouted white hairs or it spread, then Rabbi says it is tzara'as. After a week, if nothing is changed, then we just go ahead and write it off as some kind of injury, and it is a non-tzara'as situation. But la mechilkan akosas. So we'll say, why does the Torah make a distinction between shchin u'michveh? Here we go. Lomar she'in mitztarfin ze'im ze. And we'll say, to teach us that shchin and michveh do not combine with each other. We'll say, this is actually a very important halacha. So for example, if I have a half a gris of shchin, a half a gris of michveh, that does not combine to form a gris for tzara'as purposes. V'tanya, and we'll say, we learned, ezu shchin ve'ezu michveh. How do you know which is a shchin, which is a michveh? Here we go. So the Gemara says, Laka be'etz be'even be'gefes. So let's listen to this. If I get injured with an eitz, which means I'm hit with a piece of wood, be'even, with a stone, be'gefes. We'll say, gefes means actually the pulp of an olive. And we'll say, what kind of issue am I going to have with the pulp of an olive? See, interestingly enough, the olive pulp apparently can get very hot. But again, this is not going to be considered burning with fire, as we're going to see in just a moment. Bechami Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria, ubechol davar shelo ba machmas ha'or. We'll say, essentially, I get injured by anything that was not heated by fire. So, meaning either it's like blunt trauma, like with wood or with a stone, or it's by things that are hot, but not hot as a result of fire. Hot because of natural things. Chamei Tveria, right? Chamei Tveria, or Gefes, the olive pulp, which are things which naturally heat up. La suye mai, to include what else? La suye ever mi karo. But say, apparently, if you mine lead, so lead in its natural mined form could also go ahead, also produces heat. So we'll say in all of these cases, zeu shchin. This is called, if I get some type of discoloration as a result of this, this is called an inflammation. So inflammation is anything that is caused by blunt trauma or by heat that is not generated by fire. Vezu michva. We'll say, what's michva? Here we go. Michva begacheles beremetz. So we'll say, if I get burned, gacheles ultimately is a coal. Remetz are embers. Sid roseach, boiling plaster. Begaf sis roseach, boiling gypsum. Ubechol davar haba machmas, or I will say, for that matter, anything that is heated up by fire. La'asuye chame ha'ar. I will say, where does this come to include? It comes to include anything, again, water that's heated by fire as well. If I get burnt with anything that's heated by fire, zehi michve. I will say, this is called the michve. And remember, again, these distinctions and categorizations are going to be very, very important. V'tanyo. Here we go, I will say, shchinu michve. Here we go. If you have shchin and a michve, im shchin kol dem lemichve, batal michve es ashchin. So we'll say if a person has both shchin and a michve, if the shchin came first to the michve, if the shchin came first, right, shchin kol dem lemichve, batal michve es ashchin. Subsequently, again, the michve will be mevatal the shchin. V'im michve kol dem es lishchin, but if the michve is there before the shchin, then batal shchin es hamichve. Then ultimately, again, the shchin goes ahead and is mevatal the michve. V'hacha hechidami. So we'll say, what's the case over here? What's the case that the Gemara is asking? Here we go. Gigon tahave bechatzi gris shchin meikara. Rabbi will say the case over here is where the individual in question had a half a gris of shchin. He had a half a gris inflammation. That's what happened. A half a gris inflammation. So what happens, Rabbi Osai? Veli bein shipod vihigabo. I heat up a spit and I hit him with it. I hit him with the spit. Why? Whatever. Right? Because. Right? So veli bein shipod vihigabo. Vinafik bei chatzi gris acher. Now Rabbi Osai, as a result of me hitting him with the spit, now what? There's another half a gris of what we'll call discoloration. What's the shaila? What's the shayla? So we'll say, the shayla is like this. We know that he has a half a gris of shchin, of inflammation. I hit him with the sheepwood, with the spit. He now has a half a gris of another discoloration. What's the shayla? If it's another half a gris of shchin, so now he's a mitzora, or he could be a potential mitzora, because now he's got a full gris of shchin. If on the other hand it's a half a gris of michveh, then what? Then what? It's nothing. So the Gemara says, Elamai, Chabata. So we'll say, so now watch, this is amazing. Let's go back for just a moment. This is so exciting. Let's go back for just a moment. So what did we have? If you go ahead and we'll say, what's the halacha if you shecht with a boiling, with a sakin melubenes? What's the halacha if you shecht with a hot knife? What's the halacha? Kosher. Why? Because Incredible, incredible. I should be absent more often. Good, excellent. Incredible. Right, chiduda kodem libuna. Right, because we'll say we assume that the sharpness of the knife comes before the burn. So we'll say what that really means is as follows. What that means is we assume, for our terms, that blunt trauma comes before burning. Which I will say, for our purposes, means what? Vahacha. So the Gemara says, "Chabata kodem kadim va'asi hevla umevata le'lechavla." So we'll say, so watch this. So how do we view it then when I hit someone with the shipus? Here we go. Do we say chabata kadim? They're really supposed to say this is a spit case. It's a little bit different. So do I say maybe in the spit case, what comes first? Chabata kadim, blunt trauma comes first, and then what? Va'asi hevla umevata le'lechavla. So you're supposed to say, remember again, the nature of the impact. The nature of the impact of the shipud will be determined by what has the last impact on the person. So you know that when it comes to a shipud, Rabbi said there are two elements to the injury sustained by getting hit with a burning hot spit. There is the blunt trauma, and there is the burning. So the shaila is which one comes first. So the Gemara says, do we say chabata kadim? Do we say maybe it's the blunt trauma that comes first, and then va'asi havlo mavatile, the burning comes second, and therefore we define the injury as a burn and not blunt trauma. Now we'll say, if we define the injury as a burn and not blunt trauma, then what's the status of this guy? He's not a metzora. Because remember again, what does he have? He has a half a gris of shchin, which is inflammation, not burn. If that's the case, the subsequent half a gris of burn will not combine with the inflammation. So the Gemara says, "Vahavi avlo mavat leichava, vahavi leishchin u'michve v'lo mitzdarfen." And therefore, it'll be a case of shchin and michve, which do not combine. O dilma, or the other possibility is, O dilma havlo kadim. Maybe Rabbi Osai, the heat comes first. Maybe burning comes first, and what? Va'asi chabata, blunt trauma is sustained afterwards, and therefore again, the blunt trauma comes long afterwards, umevata de lahavla, so to speak, is mevatal the heat, right? Is mevatal the fire, and therefore if that's the case, va'habilei shchin u'shchin u'mitztarif. And I will say, therefore this becomes a case of a half a gris of shchin that was pre-existing, a half a gris of shchin which was visited upon him, and it combines ultimately again to make him a mitzora. So Toshma, so which one is it? So Tashma, so here we go. Now remember, I jumped the gun a little bit on the sakin. Now the Gemara is going to bring back the sakin. Well, the truth is we just discussed this. Let's go back to the hot shechita knife. So Tashma, Darmei Rav Zeira, Amar Shmuel, li bein sakin v'shachit ba, if a person heats up a knife and shechts with it, shechita so kshera, the shechita is good. Why? Because chiduda kodin lelibuna. Because the Gemara says, we assume the sharpness of the knife has an impact on the animal, has an impact on the surface, we'll call it, before the heat, before the fire. So we'll say, if that's the case, Alma Chabata Kadim Chidut. I'm sorry, Alma Chabata Kadim. Then we'll say, what do you see? You see from here that Halacha L'maisa, that if you translate this to the case of the sheephood, how do you translate this to the case of the sheephood? That's what? See, by a knife, we assume the sharpness of the knife comes before the heat of the knife. If you transfer this to the sheephood, what do we assume? That the blunt trauma of the sheephood comes before the burning of the sheephood. We'll say if that's the case, then it's ultimately, again, it is shchin, ultimately followed by michva. And if it's shchin followed by michva, then at least in this case over here, the guy's not going to be a mitzora. To which the Gemara says, chidud shiny. We'll say the truth is, the case of the knife is a little bit different. Sharpness of the knife is reckoned differently than other cases. If you look at Rashi, we'll say chidud shiny. It's in the short lines of Rashi, 2, 4, 5 lines before it gets wide. Chidud shiny. The mitoch shul chad, Ein hevel ha'or shebo chazak v'chatichasa chodim lahavlo. So we're going to see that where there is sharpness, that sharpness to a certain degree almost blunts the other impact of the utensil. So sharpness is different than blunt impact. To which the Gemara says, Tashma, libein shipud v'hikabo. Supposed to listen to this. Quoting the Braisa again. Person heats up a shipud, heats up a spit, and he hits someone with it. Nidon mishum makos eish. Supposed to say, interestingly enough, remember over here we're not talking about as much saras, but rather again in terms of nezikin. Supposed to say, if I go ahead and I hit someone with a fiery hot, right, a hot spit, so I'm considered as if I damaged him with fire. Alma, Chabata Kadim. So let's say ultimately again, what do we see? We see that the blunt trauma ultimately again precedes anything else. Hasam Nami Debarzie Mivraz Hainachidur. Paul says Pasa that that case is talking about what? That case Halacha Lamaisa is referring also to a situation where I'm not hitting him with the a spit, but rather, again, I'm poking him with the spit. So we'll say, we're going to come back and see the halacha lamaisa in this case. I forgot my shulchan aruch here with me. We're going to see the halacha lamaisa with this case about the shechti with the sack in melubenes. It's not as simple as Rabbi Zera seems to make it on top over here, but we're not finished. We're going to continue a little bit. So the Gemara goes by to other cases of sakin. So we'll say, so the Gemara is ending up over here is as follows. That halacha lamaisa, it appears, based on Rabbi Zera's statement, that halacha lemaaseh, if you shecht with a hot sakin, the shechita will be good. Why? Very important phrase, chiduda kodem lelibuna. Because we assume the sharpness of the knife precedes any type of burning with the knife. Therefore, we assume it's the sharpness of the blade that cuts and not the heat of the blade that cuts. We saw then ultimately again by tzara'as, which is what Rabbi Zera said, two different types of tzara'as. There is shchin and there is michva. There is a tzara'as that comes as a result of a discoloration, which is an inflammation versus a burn. In order to go to become a tzara, you have to have a gris of some type of discoloration, but michva and shchin do not combine. The difference between michva and shchin, michva is caused by anything that is non-fire in origin, piece of wood, a stone, the heat from the pulp of an olive, versus shchin, which is ultimately caused from fire. Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Nachman, we'll say another incredible case. What if I shecht an animal with a knife that is from Avodah Zarah? Okay, an Avodah Zarah knife. Here we go. So Rabbi Bar Avoh says, "Mutu lishchot ba v'asul lachta ba basar." You can use it to shecht. You can use it to shecht the animal, but you can't use it to cut up meat. Why? What's the logic? So mutu lishchot ba makalkilu. So Rabbi said, the assumption is that the act of shechting an animal is inherently an act of kilkul, of destruction. Why? So obviously you're killing the animal, but on a deeper level, we generally assume that an animal, a live animal, is usually worth more than a dead animal, right? A dead animal can only be used for one thing, which is food, right? Whereas a live animal could potentially be used for a variety of different things. So therefore, again, the act of shechita itself is an act of kilkul, is an act of destruction. Because of that, the Gemara suggests that using a knife of Avodah Zarah for it is not called being nana. It's not called benefiting from Avodah Zarah. Not benefiting from Avodah Zarah, because ultimately, again, I'm losing out as a result of the Shechita. On the other hand, but to use the knife to cut pieces of meat up, that's an act of tikkun, right? That's a beneficial, constructive act, and therefore I'm getting hanor from Avodah Zarah. Amar Rava, pamim shashochet aser. The Rava says, first of all, there are times where you're not even allowed to shecht using the knife of Avodah Zarah. For example, when? Bemisukenes. For example, I will say misukenes. The case of misukenes, we're going to discuss this in greater depth, is an animal that is about to die. So if you shecht it now, you could still salvage it and it'll still be edible. Just an old animal that is about to die. So if you shecht it, now that is beneficial, because if the animal dies on its own without shechita, it's an avela and obviously cannot be consumed. So that would be a case where you would not be able to use the sacking of Avodah Zarah. Why? Because I'm benefiting from the shechita, even though shechita is normally a destructive act. Umechateich mutter, and an example of where cutting up meat would be mutter with a sacking of Avodah Zara would be ba'atami dekaima in the korbanah. So both say, for example, if I have nice big pieces of meat, so we'll say if you wanted to give a gift, the lashon over here is karban. If you wanted to give a gift to someone, sometimes the way you would give that gift is you'd give like a nice side of meat. So we'll say the problem is if you cut, it's an incredible stocking stuffer, right? If you go ahead, we'll say the problem is if you cut that up, so it takes away from the chashivos of the piece. So for example, you could have a piece of meat, which if it's intact is a beautiful piece of meat. The moment you begin to cut it up, that's kilkul. All the Gemara is showing over here is, although in the general sense, the act of shechita is destructive, and the act of cutting up meat is constructive, therefore I could use as Avodah Zarah knife for shechita. Excuse me, can't for shechita, but can't use it for cutting up meat. All we're showing is that there are cases where shechita is constructive, and cutting up meat is destructive. I, the Gemara says, but one second. V'sefer klei, mishum shamnunis di isura. Now, we'll say, isn't there an issue over here? Shamnunis literally means the technical term is shmutz. That's the technical term. Look at the last Rashi on the daf. Sefer Klei, da'afagav da'havim mekalkel asur lachtoch v'mishum shamnunis di'isur din avelus shenivlu b'sakin. Now both saying, now Rashi understands this to be a din of blios, absorptions. Don't you have to be concerned over here? This knife was used for avodah zarah animals. Did it not absorb? Did not absorb from avodah zarah animals? So don't I have to be concerned that those absorptions would be conveyed to anything that you're shechting or anything ultimately again that you are conveying? I will say, now we will see as we develop our chulin lexicon, we'll begin to see that generally again shamnunis doesn't necessarily refer to absorptions. Usually it refers to actually something external. But for now, we're going to be Rashi's using it ultimately again as blias, as absorptions. So isn't that a problem to use the knife? Chesam the base. Vichadasha. We're also talking about a brand new knife. Brand new knife, which ultimately, so what does it mean, brand new knife? It was never used for Avodah Zarah. Apparently, again, it was designated for Avodah Zarah, but never used. Chadasha, the Gemara says, brand new knife, that's no problem at all. Bein the Rabbi Yishmo, bein the Rabbi Akiva, misham she'avodos kochavimim. So we'll say again, remember, that means this is what's called, what we call Misham Shavalas Kochabim, what we'll call, you know, supporting accessories for idolatry. Supporting accessories for idolatry, we'll say, only become usur when they're used. So meaning if I go ahead and I purchase a brand new knife, Adnami, person purchases a brand new knife for Avodah Zarah, right? And I dedicate a hidden muchan a muzuman for this means for Avodah Zarah. It's not usur until you use it. But we'll say, this is different, by the way, than an idol, right? Let's say if you had an actual idol, and that was made for Avodah Zarah, it is usur even before it is worshipped. But what we call like ancillary accessories, which we'll say are not inherently Avodah Zarah in nature, only become usur when they are actively served. So if I have a brand new knife over here that's never been used for Avodah Zarah, then we'll say, it's for sure no problem to use it for shechita, to use it for cutting anything. So iba yisema, so we'll say one possibility is, I'll tell you the problem with a new knife. De pasek be gavzal avodas kam. I use the knife to cut wood for idolatry. So we'll say, the act of using the knife to cut wood for the idolatry is a use for avodah zarah, and therefore again, it would be now it would be called the knife of avodah zarah. Iba yisema, biyeshna, shelibna ba'ar. We'll see, the other possibility is that ultimately, again, this was an old knife that was kashered. It was kashered. So I'll say, again, even though it was kashered, I don't have a problem with shamnunis. Again, I don't have a problem anymore with absorptions. But I do, so I'll say, here, what's this meaning? If I use it to cut wood, so again, is it an Avodah Zarah knife? Yes. But again, the Gemara doesn't bring up the issue of absorptions. Why? Because there's no issue of absorption. I didn't use it for shechita. Other possibility is I did use it for shechita, but halacha lemaisa what? I kashered it. Literally, again, I put it in the fire before I went in and used it for the animal. So we'll say, the way we're coming out over here is, the Gemara is suggesting that to use the knife for Avodah Zarah for shechita purposes is going to be mutter. Why? That's not called getting benefits from Avodah Zarah. Why not? Because shechita in and of itself is a destructive act. Versus using the knife to cut up pieces of meat, that's constructive. I can't use the knife for Avodah Zarah for that because that's called getting hana from Avodah Zarah. Good. Itmar. Hashochi pesakin shal dilchan. We'll say, here we go. So let's say I did it. I shechted with a knife of Avodah Zarah. So we'll say, so remember, the Gemara just said before that the shechita is okay. The shechita is fine. So the Gemara now suggests, even if you say the shechita is fine, Rav Amar Kolef, Rav says, we'll say, that's what? You have to peel off the area of the shechita. So we'll say, kolef means you have to kind of like take a layer of the skin of the animal off in the area of the base shechita where the knife touched. Where the knife touched, not a lot, but you just have to skim off the area where the knife came in contact with. Rabbi Barachana Amar Madiach. Rabbi Barachana says, no, all you have to do is what? Rinse it off. We'll say again, this is a very specific area where the knife of Avodah Zarah came in contact with the Beis HaShechita. What do you have to do with that area? So Rav says, ultimately, again, peel, kolef literally means peel, cut off the area of contact, and Rabbi Bachana says, just rinse it off. So we'll say, again, we're going to see, it's very exciting, because we're going to see like a lot of these halachos come out in different times. We're going to discuss that sometimes, again, for your Avodah Zarah, sometimes there are circumstances where a person purchases something that may have been cut with a non-kosher knife. So what you do with the food item that may have been in contact with a non-kosher, I will say, is going to be this sugya. We're going to see it in greater depth. Slima v'halkam of this. What are they arguing about? Well, in other words, what's at the root of the machlokas? So here we go. So the marsa rabbi sashchita tzone, or marsa rabbi sashchita roseach. We'll say, so they could be having a machlokas in mitzias. One opinion holds that the beis hashchita, the neck, basically means the area of the neck where the shchita takes place, is tzonein, is cold. Because it's cold, therefore what? Therefore what? It doesn't absorb. Because it doesn't absorb, all you have to do is what? Rinse it off. Other opinion, ultimately, again, Rav will say, no, the beis hashchita is hot, therefore it absorbs. Therefore what? You must go and actively remove a layer that came in contact with the neck. So Shmuel says, no, that's not it. Lo, d'chol yom beis hashchita roseachu. Everyone agrees that the beis hashchita is roseach, is hot. So what's the machlokes? Here we go. Man damar kolev shapir. So what's the opinion who holds that you have to take off a layer of skin from the beis hashchita? He's saying, good, that makes sense. If you hold the beis hashchita is hot, then ultimately, again, it makes sense that you have to go ahead and remove a layer. Man damar madiach. Listen to this. The man damar who says that you rinse it off. What's the shot? This is amazing. I did the treaty simon and lafuke dam. Lo beloy, Rav Hosei is amazing. Since Rav Hosei, that the simanim are busy, what's the right word? Exuding, or expelling. Expelling blood, they don't absorb. Rav Hosei, we're going to see, this is really amazing, that there are certain principles in Hilchos Kashrus. And one of the principles is that when something is expelling, it cannot absorb. So therefore, again, the Gemara suggests over like this. Everyone holds that Beis HaShchita, ultimately, again, is what? Is Roseach, is hot. Therefore, again, Rav Hosei, when the knife touches it, we understand the din of kolef. I understand why I would want to remove a layer. What's the svar that you just have to rinse it? Because since the beis hashchita at that point in time is exuding or expelling blood, it doesn't absorb anything. Because there's no absorption, a simple washing down of the area will suffice. Igidam, Rav Hosei, an alternate version of this. Tichuli alma beis hashchita tzonei. Everyone agrees that the beis hashchita is cold. Man damar madiach. So we'll say, if you hold the beis hashchita, it's just an alternate version. If you hold that the beis hashchita is cold, madiach. So the man damar madiach shapir. The man damar holds that you just have to rinse it. You just have to wipe it down. It makes sense. Man damar kolif. So we'll say, what would be the logic of the one who says that you actually have to peel back a layer? So you have to peel off a layer. Agav duchka de sakina bala. We'll say, because again, these are all principles we're going to spend a lot of time. Duchka da sakina. But so does duchka da sakina mean? That a knife has the ability to impart flavor even without heat. We'll say, it's actually an incredible idea. Under normal circumstances, we're going to see that Blios 101 tells me that what? For a transfer of taste, what do you need?
Heat.
You need heat. We're going to see a knife might be the exception because of duchka de sakina, because a knife is used with incredible force. With incredible force, it could be that the force ultimately goes ahead and affects a transference of taste. So we'll say, there's so many exciting applications of this. This is one of the reasons, for example, if you cut an onion with a fleishik knife, we'll say, what's the status of the onion? Forever fleishiks. Forever fleishiks. Now that has to do with the din of an onion also, because an onion is a davar harif, a spicy item. But part of that is no heat. There's no heat. Part of that is the onion, and part of that is the duch, the sakina. Is the fact that ultimately, again, the knife is being pressed. We're going to see other applications of that. So the Gemara goes, so we'll say, so therefore, again, two different versions of this. The way that we're going to see, the way that the Rambam paskins is going to be like Rabbi Barachano, that if you shecht ultimately again with the sakin shalabodos kochavim, all you need is hadachah. But we'll see it in the Yishulchan Aruch tomorrow. Sakin treifa. We'll say, listen to this next case. What about a sakin treifa? And we'll say, what's a sakin treifa? It's a knife that was used to shecht an animal that was a treifa. So we'll say, it's actually a very interesting case. So I go ahead, I do a regular shechita, and then it turns out that the animal I shechted was a treifa. It's a treifa. So it's not kosher. It's not kosher. So we'll say, so what happens if I use, if I end up now, what happens if I end up using that knife to shecht another animal? So pligi barav acha v'rabina. So we'll say machlokes barav acha v'rabina. Chad amar bechamin. So we'll say one opinion said ultimately again bechamin. We'll say what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Bechamin tarach la'agila l'sakin v'nei shabala shamnunis ha'treifa. So we'll say the shaila is in this case before I go ahead I shechted an animal trying to be a treifa. So now I want to use that's my shechita knife. It's my knife. So I want to use it for other shechitas. So the shaila is, do I have to do anything to it before I use it for a subsequent shechita? So watch this. So pligi barav achav rabina chadamar bechamin. One says, "Mamshaf the kashrit." You have to kasher the knife. Why do you have to kasher the knife? Because halacha lemaisa, again, it absorbed from the treifa. Therefore, it must be kashered. The chad amar betzonein. And one said, no, all you need to do is what? You just have to go ahead and rinse it off with cold water. Now, Rashi already points out over here, betzonein, kasara beis hashchita sonein, v'lo bala asakin lo nischamein. The boss said, now again, apparently, what they're arguing about over here is whether or not the beis hashchita is hot or cold. If you know the beis hashchita is hot, then what? The knife absorbs. That means the knife absorbs from a treifa. That means before you use it for a subsequent shechita, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? You have to kasher it. If you hold the beis hashechita's sonein, then what, Rabbi Osai? Then all you need is hadacha v'hilchasa. What's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? Afilu b'tzonein. The halacha ultimately is that you could wash it off even just with cold water. Now look at Rashi just a moment. V'hilchasa afilu b'tzonein. V'gabi sakin shal heteru depasik hilchasa la'atera. Dolo isser b'bli azu. V'kashu livloa. Ela ayidei resicha. Aval gabi sakin di yisur shal obdik uchavim b'plugde de la'elo pasik nesha sakin esur abasarach livloa. So we'll say, what Rashi is pointing out over here is, the Gemara is quick to pasik in this case, because at the end of the day, as much as the animal is a treifa, we're talking about a mutter animal. In other words, this is not the case of avodas kochavim. So in the case of non-avodas kochavim, ultimately, again, the Gemara is comfortable paskining and saying that what? That halacha lemaisa, all you need to do is wash off the knife. Rashi just points out, if you notice, the Gemara did not come to a conclusive conclusion, ultimately, again, by the sacking of avodas zarah. So we'll say the one conclusion we do have is if you shecht an animal, it turns out to be a treifa, the knife must be clean before being used for a subsequent shechita, but all it requires is what? Hadacha, a rinsing, a wiping down. V'i'ika, we'll say not only that, v'i'ika, b'lisa de parasa le'michprei lo tzarech. And we'll say if you have, essentially we'll say what this means is, a very stiff piece of fabric. So it sounds like steel wool, right? If you have some steel wool, you could just wipe it down with that, and that is enough. In other words, we'll say it doesn't even need to be rinsed. It really just needs to be wiped down very thoroughly. U'lamam d'amar b'chamin. And I will say the opinion who holds that ultimately, no, the knife needs to be cleaned with chamin. In my time, but what's the reason? Mishum de Kabbalah Isura. Because ultimately, again, it absorbed Isser. Once the animal was a treifa, the knife absorbed Isser, therefore has to be kashered with hot water. So we'll say, watch this. The truth is, if that's the case, then you should have to kasher every single shechita knife. Why? Even in a proper shechita, why? De'ater nami bala eva minachai. Wow. We'll say, listen to this. When you begin any process of shechita, Rabbi Osai, at the moment you begin the shechita, that animal is alive. When that animal is alive, then what's happening, Rabbi Osai? One can make the argument that you are actively cutting off the limb of an animal. You're actively cutting it. So maybe it absorbed Eivar Min HaChayim. So if that's the case, every single shechita knife should have to be kashered even after a bona fide halachically kasher shechita. To which the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, Rabbi say, when does the knife absorb? Only when the flesh around it becomes hot. So the Gemara says, Imas kachaimo. Ultimately, again, when does the flesh get hot? Lechi gamra shchita. Only when the shchita is completed. And at that point in time, ha'ishaita heteru. Rabbi say, ultimately, again, when does absorption take place? Essentially, when the shchita is done. The shchita is done when, or I should say, when the simanim are cut, that's when the base shchita heats up. At that point in time, the animal is already considered geshacht, right? It's already shechted. Right, and therefore halacha lemaisa, there's no issue of absorbing eivar min hachai. So we'll say, so what comes out over here is halacha lemaisa. The Gemara says, if indeed you shechted, and halacha lemaisa again, it turns out that what? That the animal is a treifa, the knife must be cleansed prior to being used for the next shechita, but doesn't require any type of formal kashering, rather just requires a rinsing, maybe not even a rinsing, even just a thorough wiping down. All right, but so we'll have to stop here for today. We'll pick up Emir HaShem by the two dots tomorrow morning. Shkoyah.